So every Thursday night, when we go to the Connect group and they get together, Bev starts off the night with a game or questions as an icebreaker to lighten the mood so we can get to know each other a little bit more. And I thought, it would be great to do that at a Sunday service. So I have a series of questions that I'm going to ask. And if the answer is yes for you, I would like you to stand. Are you ready? Are you graduating from high school this year? If yes, please stand up. Are you still in school and would like to be graduating? Please stand up. Okay, stand up. Two standing. Simon says, do not say to stand down. Are you in university or be graduating from university? Please stand up. Are you getting married? Or maybe you've recently been married. Please stand up. Are you parents for the first time? Or will be? Any new parents? No. Grandparents. Is there any grandparents for the first time? For the second time. Please stand up. Are you retiring for the first time? Oh, that's me. Please keep standing. Are you retiring for the third time? Please stand up. Are you moving to a new town? Starting a new ministry? Starting a new job? Or will be going to a new school? Please stand up. Are you moving to a new home or have recently moved to a new home? Please stand up. Pat. Have you or are you waiting to undergo surgery to fix a body part? Please stand up. Or recently have? Are you battling with, recovering from a health issue? Please stand up. Are you a new Christian? Or entering a new chapter or phase in your walk with the Lord? Please stand up. Are you facing some kind of challenge? Please stand up. Or do you want a new season or new beginning in your life or in the life of someone you love and care about? Please stand up. No matter where you are in life, life is about new seasons and new beginnings. You may sit down. And with every new season, there comes questions. What is going to happen to me? Where am I going? Am I going to be okay? Where am I going to live or sleep? Will I have food? What will I be doing? Will my life have purpose and meaning? Will I have control or choices? Will I prosper? Will people like me? Will I have friends? Will I be accepted? Will I have good health? Will someone take care of me? Will I be happy? These must have been some of the thoughts and questions that the nation of Israel had when Jerusalem was invaded by the Empire of Babylon. and taken captive and taken away to live in exile in Babylon under the iron fist of rule by Nebuchadnezzar. Got it? And what happened to the Israelites is written in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. So in a nutshell, the nation of Israel had for many years been hostile and rebellious to God, choosing to live their lives without Him, worshiping, following, and relying on made-up gods and themselves in their lives, to live their lives. Now, you need to remember that the nation of Israel was God's chosen people, to whom God was going to show His existence and greatness among all nations on earth. But the people of Israel basically thumbed their noses at God and said, "No thanks. We don't need you. We can do quite well on our own without you." So God said, my paraphrasing, "Fine. You want to live apart from me? Go right ahead. And I'm going to give you a timeout to think about that decision." And so God allowed the empire of Babylon to invade Israel and to take people, and take the people and exile them to Babylon for 40 years. But God saw how distraught the people were. And because of His love and grace and promises He had made to the nation of Israel, He gave them some words of hope and encouragement and what they needed to do. And speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, what God said was recorded in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." These verses have stuck with me the past past 20-something years ever since I first read them. And these verses are more than a promise of the return of the Israelites back to Jerusalem from their exile in Babylon. It's ultimately a promise of the return of humankind back to the Garden of Eden, from where God first created us, to live with Him and for Him to provide and take care of us. The Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were exiled from, where they committed the first sin and chose not to listen to God and not to rely on God, but instead to pursue a life reliant upon themselves and apart from Him. In essence, they turned their back on God and looked away from Him. But God had been in the process ever since this happened of making a way for reconciliation and bring us back to Him. And the good news is that God has accomplished a way. He made a way for us to be reconciled, brought back, and united with Him through Jesus Christ, who atoned for our sins and rebellion by enduring death on a cross and who gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us, change us, and guide us. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promises in Jeremiah 29, and through who we have been given hope and a future. The hope and the future that Christ will return someday to make all things right, to fully restore us and to make all things new, to be the way God had planned them to be before the start of time. So what can we take away from this passage for living today when we're faced with new seasons of life? Where do we begin? What do we do? How do we proceed? I think we can deduce a 5-step program. Step 1, choose God. All that God wants is for us to choose Him and to keep on choosing Him. To choose Him to be our number one. To rely on Him for everything. Not to be number two after yourself. Not to be number three after yourself and your spouse. Not to be number 4, 5, 6, or 7 after yourself, your spouse, or your kids, or your job, or sports, fishing, or hunting, after poker, after Netflix, or after the number of likes or friends you have on Facebook, or Snapchat, or Instagram. He wants to be the first choice in your life. Not a distant afterthought, or maybe no thought at all. As we live out our day-to-day life and go through the many, many seasons of life, we tend to seek and rely on anything and everything except for God. But God wants to be the one you rely on to get you through every day and to provide for you, to be your source of joy and happiness. We need to choose God. Choose Him to be the first one you thank and celebrate with when you have success or celebrating a milestone moment in your life. Choose God to be the first one you seek for comfort and help during times of sorrow, pain, or the many difficulties and challenges of life. Step number 2, believe in Jesus Christ. Who we are and who we will ever be is centered in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who atoned for our sin and rebellious nature, by whose blood was spilled on the cross in order to cover us in His righteousness and make us right and acceptable before God. Jesus Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit to dwell and live in us, to change us and guide us, to become and live in who we now are. So believe and choose to place your entirety of your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and friend. Step number 3, choose to pray. God wants to have a relationship with you, and to have you choose to have Him part of your life. And He needs us to initiate that relationship by approaching Him in prayer, spending time with Him, relying on Him, asking Him to be part of your life, and to give you what you need. And God can't give or help you unless you ask him to. And he can't hear and give to you unless you ask for what is right and pleasing to him. And it's important to realize that we chose to live apart from God and to do things our way. He needs us to go back to him, to say, we're sorry, to admit we were wrong, we messed up, and to ask for his forgiveness, and to ask for his help to live his way as his redeemed, reborn sons and daughters in Christ, and in a manner that is worthy, honoring, and pleasing to him. Step number four, seek to abide in Christ and his word. Choose to read the Bible. Seek to learn from Jesus how you are to live and to be. And step number five, seek to walk with Christ in the Spirit and according to his ways. Choose to be a follower and servant of Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you to have the same likeness, mindset, and aroma of Christ. Know and understand that we are a work in progress. We are in the midst of transitioning from what was our old sinful self, self-centered and rebellious, and adjusting, learning, and growing in a new way of being, thinking, and living. And it's hard work to make this transition. And don't be hard on yourself if you find yourself operating or living in your old self or former ways. God understands it's hard to wean ourselves from ourselves and the ways of this world, and to heal from the hurt, pain, and trauma we have experienced, or perhaps we have afflicted onto others. But never be content in staying where you are. Strive to always keep moving forward, centered on Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit, and relying on God through prayer. Never give up on yourself, and never give up on God. Know that you are going to make wrong choices. You are going to take wrong turns. And you might even find yourself backsliding and living in the old ways. The internal wiring of our heart and brain is set up that way. Corrupted by our fallen and sinful nature that we were born with. But know that we've been freed by Christ from that corruption. And we're in the process of being rewired. And this rewiring process is not easy. It requires hard work and focus beginning each and every new day and continuing for the rest of our lives until either we die or when Jesus returns and we are given new resurrected bodies, hearts, and minds with perfected, uncorrupted wiring and thinking. So I'm going to leave you with two truths and promises from God's Word. The first is from the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Life and living begins new every morning. Choosing God to be first in your life, being in Christ, praying and spending time with Him, and seeking to abide in Him and walking with Him in the Spirit. And if you messed up, if you did not get things right, or you're feeling frustrated and stressed out with life, no problem. You get to start again every day at step number one. The second is Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So work hard in all that you do, and always seek to do what is right in the eyes of God. And God will give you the desire, the strength, and the endurance to persevere. And He will make everything work together for good. Though life might feel hard at times, He will make the burden light. And He will never forsake you, never disappoint you, but only bless you, whether you can see it or not in the moment. Know and never forget how great and faithful our God is. He always keeps His word and His promises. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are the architect and creator of the heavens and the universe and all life. It is with great humbleness and great joy to know that You created us to have an everlasting, loving, and harmonious relationship with You and one another. However, we chose ourselves and our ways over You, and threw that all away. However, You made a way for us to be redeemed by choosing to pay by Yourself the penalty of our sins and rebellion against You. You humbled Yourself by manifesting Yourself in human form and allowing Yourself through our Lord Jesus Christ to be put to death, atoning for all our sins, past, present, and future. And all You ask of us is to choose You and to believe and place our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ so that You can redeem us, make us new and right in Christ, and to adopt us as Your sons and daughters. And we ask You, O Lord, by Your loving grace, to help us choose You every day. Help keep us believing and abiding in Christ. Enable us to walk by Your side and to allow You to protect us, guide us, and transform us to be and live in a manner that is worthy and honoring and reflects what You have done for us and who You have made us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.